I would invite Steve or Ann to share the scripture.
This morning's scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak out, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy.
So I first want to say, if you can't hear me, if at any point I go wonky during my message, give us a thumbs down. Let us know. I can always shift to the phone like I had to do yesterday. I'm prepared. So I start what I want to say today with a confession. I don't want to think any more about COVID-19 right now, or about the economic crisis, or these questions and uncertainties about reopening and how we should do it and when we should do it and what's safe and what's not safe these days. And I don't want to keep having to think and talk and work on racism and injustice. I'm sick of it. I don't want there to be more deaths like there was again this weekend in Atlanta. More incidents of racial injustice, more police brutality, more stupid racist behaviors like happened to the Ufford son-in-law, more comments to process. I don't want this to be what we need to work on. I want it to stop, to end, and to go away. Enough is enough. But then I think, if I am tired as a white woman, how exhausted must people of color be? They deal with it all the time. We all know that real change and real progress will take effort and work for the rest of our lives. And my white privilege, the privilege of all of those who get labeled as white, is that we get to choose when we get up tomorrow whether or not we will think about race. We get to decide. We can choose that we're tired of it today, and so we're not going to do or think anything about it at all. No person of color has that choice in America. If they go out, if they interact with people, they have to be always aware of the racial dynamics. Their safety, even their lives, depend on always paying attention to race. But those of us who are called white, we have a choice to make today and every day. Will we wake up? Will we do the work to listen and learn? Will we join the struggle and stay with it? Will we engage it and stay engaged for the long haul? Will we commit ourselves to being aware every day of racism and what it is doing, even when we're tired, even when we'd rather not? The text we just heard from Proverbs 31 was the one chosen by a group of Black ministers for an online forum I was invited to join this week. They called the forum Let's Talk Unity, Racial Injustice, and the Silent Church. They said the church has been too silent for far too long on racial injustice. The church has too often not spoken out for the rights of the poor and the needy and the destitute. We have done acts of charity. We've helped the poor, but we've not tackled the systems that put them there. And we have not acknowledged and actively addressed the systemic racism that infects all of us. The church, they said, has so often failed to unite Black and white, Asian, Hispanic, liberal and conservative. Yes, for some reason, I was the only one who signed both of those statements. Evangelical, progressive. Choose your labels and your dividers. So many times the church has failed to unite, to join our voices, to use the power and privilege we have to speak up for those who cannot speak, those whose cries are ignored and whose voices are silenced. The forum was most explicitly calling on white and black churches to come together and speak out against racial injustice. The speakers were all more conservative and evangelical than you or I. And for evangelicals, I think the challenge may be more about moving from an overly personal view of salvation to move toward one that understands that social justice is an important part of the message. Bringing people to Christ isn't enough. Charity isn't enough. Many black churches, even conservative ones, have understood this for a long time. But largely white churches have been very slow to respond. Although that has been changing, and it's really, really changing right now. But what about us? Those of us who call ourselves liberal and progressive, those of us who have a long commitment to social justice and the social gospel, we know, we have preached and taught that Jesus Christ and the reign of God is about much more than individual salvation. We know there are systemic problems and social injustices. We know that racism is real. But this moment we are in challenges us too. It calls us to look at ourselves. Why are we so often silent? Why are we so often complacent? What are we doing to fight racial injustice? Reverend Andy Stanley, of all people, who is a prominent and highly popular evangelical pastor of a large church in Atlanta, said in his sermon last week, "It's not just enough just to be non-racist. We have to be anti-racist." Anti-racist is the term that has been popularized by a book, How to Be Anti-Racist, by a writer, Ibram X. Kendi. I haven't read it yet, so I don't want to say too much about what he says specifically. But from what I'm learning, the term anti-racist captures something that is very important for us in a way that's very helpful for all of us. Because, Kendi says, we are all infected. We're all racist because we all live in a racist society. It's not a judgment, it's simply a statement of fact. There is no one in this society who is colorblind or race neutral. No one is beyond racism. Part of it is just human nature. Our brains notice differences in appearance from the time we're small babies. Even tiny children will react negatively to someone who looks really different from the people they're used to. But how we come to understand those differences is shaped by thousands of experiences and observations from the time we are very small. And in this racist society, those experiences ingrain us with implicit biases. Biases we can't change until we admit them, acknowledge them, and start working on them. We have years of conditioning to transform. And I think the call to be anti-racist reminds us powerfully that we have to take intentional actions as individuals and organizations if we want to bring change in our racist society. We have to fight for policies on local, state, and national levels. Something so ingrained, so systemic, will take all of our lives and more. And that's where our faith comes in. Because the effort, the energy needs to come from a deeper place than just our own wills and our own vision. There are way too many tired, burned out activists in this world. The long, slow work of change needs spiritual strength and hope that is based in more than just our human efforts. As I read what different folks are writing about what is happening right now, there is hopefulness and there is fear. There is hope that this time maybe it really is different. African Americans saying to each other, "Did you see all those white people out in those protests?" But there is fear. Is this just a short-lived moment? Will people be satisfied with a few changes and regulations, a few symbolic gestures, and then move on and want to go back to normal? Normal was never good for people of color in this country. Normal was always racist, always unjust. So my question to myself, to us as a church, is what are we being called to be and do in this time? How are we being called to live into our commitments to social and ecological justice? Because the two are always related. How do we step up and speak out? How do we move forward in sustained long-term commitments? I start with the challenge to speak out. How do we speak out when many of us are anxious about even going out of our houses and certainly don't think we should show up for a protest because of COVID-19? I think those of us who feel we can go need to keep going. I also would really love for us to organize ourselves so that somebody goes down and rings the bells, the chimes at church whenever there's a protest happening, as a sign of solidarity. And there's been a little brainstorming about some other ways to speak out. At Cabinet Monday night, Louise mentioned a sign. At Christian Concern, we talked about putting back up our Poor People's Campaign banner and putting a Black Lives Matter sign out front. Small gestures, but gestures are important. So I was thinking this week we should add on to that. Turn our little bit of lawn there on the edge of DeWitt Park into a place where we speak out. We have a great location, especially now that things are opening back up. And I'm picturing in my mind multiple little signs declaring our commitment to social justice. Black Lives Matter. Love is love. Women's rights are human rights. Some of those kind of signs. Love your neighbor. Black Lives Matter. If you go online, there's multiple options. And Lisa Kilgore messaged this morning, we need to update our public Facebook page and our website to say what we believe, what we have been committed to for a long time. And online is as important as in person right now. And all of us as individuals, even if you're at home, you can make the same kind of small gestures, yard signs, window signs, bumper stickers, social media posts. And then there are those personal conversations with people. Refusing to let the little racist or anti-gay comment pass, right? Daring to speak up, to stand up. They're all small, but they do matter. And I think there are ways we can find to get more engaged. There are protests and marches happening in Ithaca. As Josie shared, the Poor People's Campaign is having a large, huge, they hope, virtual mass meeting this coming weekend. We can join that Saturday or Sunday. You can see the two-hour event. And we must keep looking for ways to connect with other faith communities here in Ithaca and with other local organizations and the work they are doing. Right now, the Tompkins County Standing Up for Racial Justice is having multiple online trainings. And that is where our local Black Lives Matter group asks people who are white to get connected and to learn how to be allies of people of color. Being allies, forming relationships, standing together. Those of us who are white, how do we learn to be allies? First, by not thinking that we have the answers, by realizing that we do not understand what it means to be a person of color and trying to be open to learn. The gospel reading for this Sunday was Matthew 9:35 all the way through chapter 10, verse 8. It was a long reading about Jesus sending his disciples out to preach the good news. And I confess, when I saw it, I thought, that doesn't help me figuring out what I need to say on Sunday. It's long. It's about evangelism. What does that have to do with us right now? But yesterday I went back and read it again and I heard it differently. Jesus saw the crowds who were troubled and oppressed, harassed and feeling helpless, Revised Standard says. He saw and heard their struggles and their longing for freedom and liberation and hope and healing. And he told his disciples to look at them, to see them, and to pray for more people to have the courage and compassion to do the same. See the crowds, see their pain, see their suffering, and do the work to bring healing and hope. He sent his disciples out in response, but he gave them some advice on how to go. First, he said, don't go alone. Go with a partner. Go with a friend. Don't try to do this work all by yourself. You need human partners and you need the power of the Spirit of God. And Jesus promised them his authority and his power would go with them to fight against evil, to heal brokenness and suffering, and to bring hope. He did not ask them to go in their own strength and power. He told them to trust the Spirit, to lean on God's power to give them what they needed. And he told them, don't try to go to the foreigners right now. Don't go to people whose culture you don't understand. Go to your own people, your own family, your own neighbors and friends. And I thought of how standing up for racial justice puts people in talking circles with people of the same race, whites with whites, people of color with people of color, because they say they've learned. We need to talk to each other. We need to tell our truths and stories to each other. We need to confess and challenge each other. White people need to be talking to white people about racism. It should not be the responsibility of people of color to educate and challenge white folks. But Jesus said, wherever you go, look for allies. Be an ally. Go humbly, leaving your baggage behind. And wherever you find a welcome, receive the welcome. Share peace with anyone who will welcome you. Join forces with any and all you can. And those who won't welcome you, those who won't hear, well, just shake the dust off your feet as you leave. Move on. Don't let that hold you back. You're going out, he said, as sheep among wolves. There is danger out there. Some people will try to hurt you, will work against you, and families will be divided. So be wise as snakes and gentle as doves. Jesus told us it's going to be hard. Expect that. You will be attacked. You will be challenged. You will have to find ways to speak your truth, but don't worry about what to say. The Spirit will give you the words when you need them. And all of you, all who endure, who stand firm, who persist, who keep on walking and talking, doing the work, all who speak and live the good news of God's love and grace, all of you will be saved. That's the word for us today from Jesus. He never said it would be easy. He never said we would finish the work. He never promised that we can make everything right the way it's supposed to be. Our faith tells us that God alone someday will make all things as they should be. But Jesus taught us over and over again that giving ourselves to love and to justice is the only way to be healed, the only way to be made whole, the only way we can find right relationship with God, with each other, and with the whole world. Jesus showed us the way of love and self-giving, a way of transformation. The Spirit of God is working in us to transform us, all of us, and make us the people of love we were meant to be. But we need to go deep right now, deep into our faith, deep into God's Spirit. We need to draw from the well of God's love and grace to find the strength and the love we need to move forward. May we know God's will, and by faith, may we have the energy and the courage to do it. A prayer from St. Francis. Most high, glorious God, cast your light into the darkness of our hearts. Give us right faith, firm hope, perfect charity and profound humility, with wisdom and perception, O Lord, so that we may do what is truly your holy will. Amen.